I hope that you are having a good day. And I certainly am grateful that you would drop by for a few minutes. And particularly as we head toward Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday on this Holy Week, it's a time for us just to make sure our hearts are tuned and we're properly aligned as believers. And oh my, how worthy our Lord is of our worship, our adoration, and our praise. And so we certainly want to be governed by His Spirit and have all eyes and hearts on Jesus. Amen. Good morning, Jana, Pastor Doc, Mike and Teresa. Some others of you may have slipped by there. Got to talking and not noticing who was joining, but thank you all for being here today. Mickey is on Nana duty again today. And so, we'll just do this together, you and I. And, hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Hey, Brother Bill, good to see you. Love you and Miss Mary Lou. You know, there are a number of events that transpired in the week leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And we're not going to be able to look at all of those. Yesterday, we talked about the triumphal entry, the Palm Sunday, and learn some lessons out of that. Today, we want to drop in to the living room, if you will, kitchen maybe, of a home in Bethany for another event that happened in Jesus' life during what we call Holy Week. Many call Holy Week, every day is holy to the Lord, but when we use the term Holy Week, we're talking about all the events that led up to the crucifixion and resurrection that last week prior. And so today we're out of Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, and then paralleling out of John 12, we have some more information. We'll try to weave these together. I personally believe these are the same event. And in Matthew 26, verse 6 and following, it says, "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not all have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" Now, when we read what John wrote, he said, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany." So he's in the same town, right? "Where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him." So what I'm seeing here is Jesus is in Bethany and he's at the house of Simon the leper, but also Lazarus was there and Mary Martha were also there helping and serving. It says in verse 3, "Then Mary," obviously a direct reference to the Mary and Martha who are Lazarus' sisters, it seems to be. "Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." So John's given us a little different angle than Matthew, but I believe they're looking at the same thing and telling it from their viewpoint. Then verse 4 it says, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot," now before it said the disciples all were kind of, you know, indignant toward her, but here we see that Judas is the one who's speaking out. It says, "Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' Then he said, 'Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always.'" So when you put all that together, you kind of get a total picture of what's happening there. And so, just in the way of application, I want to take just a few more minutes here, but I want to apply this to our life during this Holy Week. If we can kind of step into that kitchen, that living room, that house, where Jesus was on that day and the events that transpired there. I mean, they're at the table eating, food's being cooked. You can smell what's coming out of the, quote, the proverbial oven, the conversations taking place. And in the middle of it, Mary takes this flask of perfume, we're told spikenard in John's writing, and she breaks it open and begins to pour it on Jesus. And John tells us she took her hair and washed his feet with this. And Matthew tells us that it was poured on his body as well. In both cases, we're told that it was for his burial. So a lot's happening here. The first thing I want to talk about is selfishness versus sacrifice. Selfishness versus sacrifice. You have these disciples, Matthew tells us, and then the pack leader of this, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, they're upset at the fact that this woman is doing this. Now, I think that upsets them, first of all, that it's a woman. How dare she interrupt what the guys are doing at the table? And that's kind of the way it was in Bible days. And I've visited some countries where the men and women are still separated in different rooms during the meals. And, you know, I always try to help nudge them toward what I believe would be what would be the Lord's heart. But here we see the disciples are upset. And they're upset that, my goodness, this money could have been used for the poor. They're just not seeing what's really happening. Why? Because they're being selfish. In other words, they're thinking how they would use that money. And the way that this woman was wasting this very expensive perfume on Jesus is not what they would have done. So you see their selfishness. And what they didn't see was her sacrifice. We're told 300 denarii. You know, that's almost a year's wages, paralleling how it would be compared today, because the denarii would be like a day's wages. That's almost a year's salary being poured out on Jesus. And they're thinking all the different things they could do. And we're also told that Judas, you know, he's thinking, man, this is money I won't get to steal. I won't get to invade the till here and get me some of that money. And so we see selfishness versus sacrifice. You know, some people still have that attitude today. Why do these Christians want to, my goodness, give a tenth of their own? More than that, they could have, you know, they could have done a family vacation. They could have helped this person. They could have done that. Why would they give that to the church? Because it's used for the Lord's purposes. It's given to glorify Him. And so the world doesn't understand that. Mary understood it. Jesus understood it. These disciples were having trouble with it. Why? Because they were being they had a selfishness mindset instead of a sacrificial mindset. And John tells us that Judas was greedy and a thief. So he was governed by greed. Mary was not. She was governed by her sacrificial act of worship. Another thing I want you to notice is fear versus love. Now, I see that here because a lot of times the crowd can be moved by fear. What's everybody going to think? What are people out there going to think that seeing this waste, this perfume being poured out like this? Or, I'm going to speak up and say something. Not Mary. This was the way she was loving on Jesus. And you know what? It was her perfume. She could very well do with that what she wanted to. And what she wanted to do was love on Jesus with it. And so don't be governed by what other people think. Don't allow fear to govern your heart when it comes to what you want to do the Lord. You know, sometimes God may move upon you to do something really sacrificial. And then you may tell someone what you're thinking about doing. They'll talk you out of it, you know, and get you into a place of fear. Well, you might not have enough, or you may not be able to do this. You may not be able to do that. But your heart's telling me, this is a sacrificial step I want to take to love on Jesus. So we see fear versus love. And you know what? We're told in Matthew that he was at the house of Simon the leper. So if that was the leper Jesus met, it was one that had been healed. And I'm just saying, I doubt that Simon was arguing about what Mary was doing, because he had had the touch of the Savior that delivered him from leprosy. And there's Lazarus sitting at the table, we are told in John's account. And you know what? Lazarus, who had been in the tomb for 4 days and raised from the dead, I doubt he was arguing and upset that Mary was loving on Jesus this way. My goodness, he had been to death and back. He understood, hey, Jesus is worthy of this. And there's Mary and Martha, who got their brother raised from the dead. They haven't forgotten that. But these disciples and Judas, they're agitated, they're indignant, they're troubling Mary about it. Governed by fear, governed by greed. Or the next thing I wanted to say is, we see here the sins of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Mary's being governed by love. She's being governed by joy. And I believe Lazarus and Simon and Martha were right there with her, understanding, oh, this is awesome that we can do something like this for Jesus. Look at what he's done for all of us. So they were operating the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and gentleness and faith. And all, you know, the room was filled not only with that fragrant smell, but they were seeing the one who had delivered them from death, the one who had healed them, the one who had changed their lives. The atmosphere they were in was an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, and they were in agreement. But these other guys, they were operating in the flesh. You know, sometimes we can be in worship services, the same thing's happening. You have people tracking what the Holy Spirit's doing, and they're so excited, and they're just loving on the Lord and worshiping, and they're joyful, and they may be jumping up and down, leaping, praising, crying, weeping. All these kind of things can be happening. There's others thinking, what is this? Why would anybody want to do this? They don't understand what Jesus has done and who he is. Sins of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit, atmosphere of flesh versus atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that I see here is worry versus worship. The disciples worrying about what could have been if they had used that money different. Not Mary, she just worshiping. Oh, she was glad to worship extravagantly. Her worship was sacrificial. It cost her something more than her time, more than her words, her livelihood. She was pouring it out on Jesus. And well, what a beautiful picture here as we think of Holy Week. And I see here it says Mary took her hair and wiped his feet. You know, the Bible talks about how a woman's hair is her glory. And so we have here this woman taking her glory and it's laying it at the feet of Jesus and wiping his feet with Jesus, massaging that fragrant perfume into his feet. What a beautiful picture. How we take all that we have and we lay it at the feet of Jesus and we give him the glory. We give him the glory. Any good thing that's coming for us, he's done it, and we yield it back to him through our worship. The disciples, they're insulting, they're being rude. Judas is being indignant. He's judging Mary. There's all of this happened, but right in the middle of it, she's just sacrificially worshiped. She's not worried. She's not worried about what these guys are saying. She's not worried about what they're thinking. She knows who Jesus is. She's experienced what he's done for her family. And she's just got her eyes on Jesus. Let me tell you, sometimes in life we get in places where all these opinions are circulating around and all this stuff is going on and all these fears are being raised up before us, and people may be pointing fingers. They may be judging you. They may be criticizing you. And your heart's just saying, just keep your eyes on Jesus. I just want to worship Jesus. I just want to serve Jesus. I just want him to be the center of everything I do. And you know, we just have to keep our place in a place of humility, because here we see Mary prostrate at Jesus' feet. And that's where we are called, how we're called to worship, to be humble in his presence. What Judas called waste, Jesus called worship. The world will have a different opinion about how you sacrificially serve, honor, adore, give, witness, and work for Jesus. That's all right. Let them have their opinions. They call it waste, but your Lord calls it worship. Amen. Last thing quickly is I want you to see in this story, and there's so much more here, but also see the eternal versus the temporal. The eternal versus the temporal. The poor you will have with you always. Jesus knew his death was imminent, and he was going to be leaving them in his physical body. In that form, he would remain with them by spirit, but he would be leaving them. And he let them know, he said, listen, the poor you'll have with you always, temporal. What this woman is doing, it will be a memorial for her. Do you hear what Matthew said? Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. We are remembering what Mary did right now, almost 2,000 years removed from the day she did it. We're remembering what she did. We're remembering her act of worship. It lives on. It challenges us. It motivates us. And Jesus Christ is as worthy right now as the moment she knelt before him. He welcomes our worship just like he welcomed her worship. It may be in the midst of an atmosphere of judgment and critiquing and insulting and criticism and people troubling you. You just keep worshiping Jesus. What we do for him will be eternal. It will last on. And all this carnal stuff that other people, all their opinions, when their breath's gone, it's gone. But there are things we can do for Jesus Christ that will outlive us. As a matter of fact, they will go into eternity with us because it tells us that our works do precede us, and the Lord will remember those. So be encouraged, dear friend, during this Holy Week to keep Jesus at the center, to keep him the focus. Worship him, serve him sacrificially. Keep your eyes on the eternal. Don't be swayed by the temporal. Be governed by the Holy Spirit, not by the sins of the flesh. Try to cultivate an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, not an atmosphere of flesh. And don't be governed by fear, the fear of man, but by love. Be sacrificial and not selfish. And those are just some lessons that are practical for us today on this Holy Week of that occasion when Jesus was at Bethany and that alabaster box, that fragrant oil was poured out on him. And you know, the fragrant oil of the Holy Spirit now has been poured out from him upon us. So let's carry that fragrance into this world. Amen. I hope you have a wonderful week this week. And I hope that Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday are especially meaningful to you this week, this year, and that God would bless you. And aren't we grateful for his grace and his mercy to forgive us our sins? Aren't we grateful that he changes us from who we were to who he's created us to be? Aren't we grateful that Jesus, through his resurrection, lives on, and that even when death visits each of us, the best is yet to come because of his resurrection? Amen. God bless you tonight. We'll be back at 6:30. We will have a time of communion and a brief time of teaching tonight at 6:30 back here on Facebook. You have a great day. Love you all.